The Valley has recently seen an increase in new nonprofit news organizations. Last year, local journalists started Arizona Agenda, a political newsletter. ProPublica opened a Southwest bureau in Phoenix. AZ Luminaria, a community-focused newsroom started by veteran journalists, launched recently. And they all joined the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, which has been around for a while. All of this begs the question, how many nonprofit news organizations can survive in one market? I talked about that with John Wibby, an associate professor of journalism and media innovation at Northeastern University, and we started with whether he thinks we're seeing a permanent shift to the nonprofit model of news media, or if this might be more temporary.
I think we're seeing the evolution of a hybrid system. Many countries around the world have a very well-funded and robust sort of public media system. We've had, through the CPB grants and then, you know, through NPR, PBS, and other public media affiliates, you know, a strong but relatively small relative, to the rest of sort of the developed economies, a small nonprofit news media ecosystem. And I think what we're seeing now is the growth of digital first, you know, kind of daily news originating websites of many different kinds at the local and regional level across the United States. And that sector has, you know, while not, you know, large, again, on a relative basis yet, has seen some promising growth trends in recent years.
What has led to that, do you think? Like, why does this model have a chance to be successful?
Well, it's, you know, if you talk to the average member of the public and say the words nonprofit news, they will immediately think of PBS and NPR and sort of wonder, why would we need, you know, another kind of lane of sort of news creation? And the reality is that so many local newspapers, the weeklies, many dailies, the alt weeklies, have just closed in recent years because the economics are not favorable. Most of the, you know, online advertising dollars have been gobbled up by Google and Facebook, and the news industry has contracted very dramatically over the last 20 years. So the hope with nonprofit news organizations is that as startups, they, first of all, aren't sort of encumbered by some of the legacy costs, pensions and whatnot. They also are leaner, along a number of dimensions, and could, with a much smaller operating budget, originate a lot of news in local communities and in regions that have seen, you know, have become, you know, in the words of Penelope Abernathy at the University of North Carolina, news deserts.
Well, let me ask you about the content of some of these outlets. Are you finding that it is maybe easier or better or perhaps more profitable or sustainable for these nonprofit startups to really try to, you know, focus on everything, you know, maybe in some way replicate, you know, what a daily or a weekly had been doing? Do you find that they're better off maybe focusing on a particular community or a particular population of people or a particular subject area?
Yeah, there, and people are trying models, you know, that touch on all of the topics that you just outlined. So some may serve, for example, the indigenous community. Some may serve people who are interested in education or climate change. Many of these, though, are sort of general news sites that were started because typically a talented former or a talented journalist and maybe some backers recognized that their community did not have sufficient journalism, didn't know enough about what was going on in the state legislature. Texas Tribune would be an example of that. Or, you know, the local school board or the city council just does not have enough critical scrutiny and accountability journalism coming out of it. And so they started with the idea that they would cover general community news or general state news in order to provide for what Stephen Waldman has called the information needs of communities. And he wrote that in an FCC report, FCC sponsored report about 10 or 12 years ago now. And that really set this framework in place for looking at every community, every municipality in the United States as in need of a certain level of shared community information, sort of shared facts, so that communities can make good decisions.
Is it easier maybe also, though, to attract audience and thereby audience funding if you are more general as opposed to, you know, talking about something exclusively like school boards or climate change or tax policy or something where there might be sort of a smaller universe of people who are interested in A, reading it, and B, paying to read it?
Yeah. I mean, there, over the last, you know, 20 years as the internet economy has evolved, it's become clear that you know, media that can do targeting of sort of select groups and can tailor toward those groups may be, you know, a more successful model. You know, I think there are a couple different thoughts on this. One is if you have a civic and sort of ethical mission to inform a community, to provide for the information needs of communities, then you're committed to a general news model, at least in some respects. At the same time, it may be a better model for others starting a news nonprofit to say, look, we're going to go after people who have a certain interest in X, Y, or Z. And we feel like that can really scale because we can get people who are interested, not just locally, but also regionally and nationally. And so, you know, these are choices that people have to make. They're different business models. And I don't think it's a one size fits all.
I would imagine that the market that you are in probably plays a big role in that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things I should mention is this sharp divide between the metro areas, you know, like a Phoenix, like a Boston, like a Chicago, or an LA, which have, you know, very, very deep resources relative to some of the economically struggling places across the country, particularly in the heartland. And those places have also seen the loss of a lot of news capacity. And so, you know, the choices are very different depending on whether you're in a metro or whether you're in a more rural or less dense area.
All right. That is John Wibby, an associate professor of journalism and media innovation at Northeastern University in Boston. John, thanks for the conversation. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.